You're not putting God the Father first, followed by Christ, followed by the Holy Spirit. You got something wrong. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Where were we? What verse? I can't hear if you whisper. Thank you. To another work of miracles, to another prophecy. Prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is many things. Prophecy is telling future events by revelation of God. Now, we talked the other night about false prophets prophesying and their prophecies come to pass. But what was the difference then? What would be the difference of a false prophet telling a future event and it coming to pass, and a true prophet telling a future event and it coming to pass? Huh?
Focus.
Well, that's how you tell. Who they glorify is how you tell whether they're a true prophet or not. I'm not asking about that. What I'm asking about is, what is the difference in how the prophecy works and how it comes to pass?
One sentence meant by God, the other one sentence meant by God.
You agree with that?
No.
Huh? You know? What do you believe? Oh, tell me again.
One is God creates, fulfills prophecy, and the other one doesn't. So.
Well, that's pretty close. One, God knows what's going to happen anyway, and he tells a prophet what's going to happen. And the other is the devil tells him something's going to happen and then goes up there and makes it happen. So that you got it pretty doggone close. It's right there. God knowing the future, because what? How can God know the future? He's there. He's back there, he's up there, he's everywhere in between. How does he do that? Imagine you're a goldfish in a goldfish bowl. And I came up and looked at you. Can I see both sides of the bowl? See? Another simpler way of putting it is you're going up the river on a canoe. Can you see what's around the corner? No, but if I'm in a helicopter, I can. Or if I'm looking from a space satellite, I can see the whole thing. Now, if you can take that and put it into it, and think of that concept as a time concept, you got it. What we can do with satellites to look at the whole Earth, God can do with time to see the whole thing. Amen? So God says, this and this and this is going to happen because he knows it's going to happen. He sees it. But faith will say, this and this is going to happen, and then you'll go up there and try to make it happen. So it's how it works, how, and discernment of spirits can help you to see that. Discernment of spirits can help you to see it. Another thing prophecy does is it tells past events. Prophecy is not just for future events, it's to understand past events. A perfect example of that is Ezekiel 28. It's one of the best examples you'll ever find. Huh? And it starts out, what? The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, go and say unto the prince of Tyrus. The prince of Tyrus there is the Antichrist. You read that prophecy of the prince of Tyrus, it all deals with the future Antichrist. Alright? Then he comes along and says, so a man go take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. What's a lamentation? It's a eulogy. It's something you say over someone who has died. King of Tyrus is allegorical for Satan. He was already gone. He was Lucifer. And he goes and says, what? Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect beauty from the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub covered. And I said thee so. Speaking of Lucifer. So here, prophecy dealt with the past. So prophecy can deal with the future, it can deal with the past, and guess what? It can deal with the right now present. Sometimes prophecy is confused with the word of knowledge. But when a prophet is speaking the words of the Lord, they can be for right now. They can just be to tell you something right now about yourself or something like that. Is this making sense? Am I making any sense with this? Alright. To another working miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. The diverse kinds of tongues. Various different kinds of tongues. You know, I have the gift of tongues. I have the sign of tongues, which I use all the time in my private prayer. I don't use them in the church. I use them in my private prayer. We were holding meetings down in Maryland one time, revival, and God was moving greatly with all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. It was wonderful. And this woman came to the meetings, had a bandana on her head, and she was all dead. She had cancer. She had cancer. And she asked for a prayer. So I prayed for her, and the Lord healed her. Cast the demon of cancer out of her. She was healed. Next day she come in all excited. She took the bandana off. She had hair. During the night she grew hair. Didn't grow a whole lot of it, but she had hair. And then she grew more the next night. After about a week of being in the meetings, about 10 days, I said, well, she came up to me and said, Brother David, I don't understand something. See, back then we started meeting at 7:30 and ended at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then after 2 o'clock in the morning, then I took the disciples and we went out and spent another 3 or 4 hours. You guys have it easy now. Then we get up in the morning and teach all day and pray. And we do that 7 days a week. And after about 10 days, she said, I don't understand. You come in here and you preach 4, 5, 6 hours every single day, and you never repeat yourself. You're always bringing up more stuff. How do you do that? It's impossible for you, remember? And I said, of course it's impossible. See, right then, and I still do when I preach, this is a teaching series here. When I preach, it's different every time. And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, there's no way I could remember all of that. Well, how do you do it? I said, it's simple. I go in my closet and I pray in tongues. And when I finish, I come out here and give you the interpretation. And you're the one who was healed of cancer. Hair growing back. Feeling great. And what did she say? Well, tongues are the devil. I can't accept that. You can't be a God. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, I'll tell you, I couldn't imagine it. I still can't imagine it. By the way, she never did die of cancer, but she did die of a heart attack. Am I right? Did she die of a heart attack? You don't remember who she is? Well, I'll find out and tell you all later. All right. I keep forgetting they were young. Where am I in verse 11 now, huh? Another interpretation of tongues. So, in the church, the gift of tongues is to be spoken with interpretation. And Paul's going to go through this. Interpretation is the interpreter hears the tongues in his own language. Everybody else hears the tongues as some foreign language. But you hear it. And if you're the interpreter, you hear it in English. And then you put forth what was said. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, all dividing to every man severally as he will. Now this is, here's another one that people get messed up. Remember, this is English, but this is Elizabethan English, right? Elizabethan English can get you stumbled every now and then if you don't have a few points down in it. The word severally here refers to singular. It doesn't mean a bunch, it means one. So, to the church, where am I? To the church, all these work at that one and the self-same Spirit, all of these gifts working by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man one of the gifts. So in the church, one would receive a gift of faith, another would receive a gift of knowledge, word of knowledge, another one tongues, another one interpretation. That way the whole church has to depend on one another. See, that builds unity. That binds the church together in unity. The only one that walks with all of these gifts is the apostle. And it's not because he's better than anybody else. When he shows up, he's the only one who's got. God's got to have someone there to pass him out. And when he leaves, those gifts stay back in that church, and that church is able to operate. Amen? And that hopeless is helping some people out. I hope this is helping you all out a little bit. And I'm hoping it's bringing us some understanding.
If you would explain seven gifts to discern, I still have a problem.
All right. Discerning. No, it's discerning.
Okay. What does it mean?
To discern the thing. To discern. In the natural, it's to figure out. Okay. You know, in the natural, you see something, you say, gee, what is that? And you think about it, and you discern. It's a popcorn popper. You figure out it's a popcorn popper. Alright? In the spirit, it works a little differently. In the spirit, you see a thing and figure it out. It works the same, but it's different. Alright? Now, Paul, like for instance, with that little girl, he discerned, he was grieved in the spirit, and he discerned that was a little girl talking, it was a demon talking. You see? And he rebuked that demon, told her to come out of her. And it did. And she lost her power to sustain, and it made everybody mad, and they came after Paul. You see? So discerning is to figure out what spirit's doing what. See? You got things coming against the church, coming against the ministry. Well, if you have someone there with a gift of discerning of spirits, he can discern to figure out what is going on. Don't confuse it with dividing. It ain't the same thing. Discerning. Alright? It's like when I walked in that church in Cabot, and I saw the spirits of the people, and saw them turned as tombstones, and then discerned the meaning thereof. You see how that works? Alright. Any other questions real quick? All these things work by the same Holy Spirit, and these gifts are singularly given out to members in the church so that the church can work as the body of Christ. And many of these gifts have to work together. If you go and you sit down and you say, what's this? And it's brown. You see it. It's brown. You're not sure what it is. You bite your nose. Your nose says, well, it smells like caca. And the eyes say, well, it kind of looked like caca. Some people are sufficient to stop right there.
Amen.
For some, it's sufficient to stop right there. We got the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, that's good enough. Amen. But some people just can't go that route. They gotta take their shoes and socks off and go. Yeah, it feels like hot. You gotta have those different senses working in the church, those different gifts working in the church. But it's also good to keep in mind, be quick. If you got two witnesses, you don't always have to push it for the third. Amen. You don't always have to push it for the third. Because, see, if the word of knowledge tells you a thing and the word of wisdom explains it to you, and if you still don't get it, then the prophet gift of prophecy might come into pass, and if that gift of prophecy has to come involved, you may not like it. Oh, well, where are you going there? And there are some, I imagine, that's dumb enough to do that, but I ain't even going there tonight. Go to the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
All right. So, you understand that it's the same Spirit and that this gift is given to each individual, and I hope and pray to God, my desire and my hope is that when I come back up here shortly and we do our revival, that these gifts are going to be handed out to those whom God has called to receive them, if not before. Amen? Alright. I want to stop there. Verse 12, I'll go into that just a little bit. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I am not Christ. Let me make that perfectly clear. I am not Christ. Ricky Baldwin is not Christ. Steve is not Christ. Jim is not Christ. Ricky Jr. is not Christ. Together we are Christ as the body. But only Jesus is the head of the body.
Amen.
Is that clear enough? Huh? Good. You want to come on up here, Ricky Baldwin, since you don't have a white shirt and tie on today and you're looking like a bum, I'll let you get up here and close out the service for me. Good stuff.
Tomorrow, we will not have the 10 o'clock morning. We'll be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. David's going to continue on the being ignorant thing. Not being ignorant.
And we're going to keep it on there, too.
Probably. Bring that one back a few years later. I like to say praise the Lord, man. It's just been a wonderful week. And I know it's going to be even better. Tomorrow's the first day of the week, right? So, just tell them I'm ready to learn and serve the Lord tomorrow as well. Father, we thank you for this past week. Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we pray that you would continue to just pour out your blessings, pour out your word upon us, Lord. Father, I pray that each and every one that you have called will receive that word, Lord, and grow in the knowledge and wisdom of that word. Father, we thank you for Brother Davey, bringing him up here safe, Lord. We ask, Lord, that your blessings would be mighty upon him as well, Father. Father, we pray that he would be able to be blessed abundantly. And Lord, as he goes back to South Carolina, whenever that may be, Lord, that he can go back safely and that they can be blessed down there as well. Father, that you would unite us. I know there's no distance in the Spirit. So whether in South Carolina or whether in Vermont, Lord, we can all be one in the Spirit with you. And Father, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters in South Carolina right now, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to keeps him, Lord. Father, we lift him up to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray your grace and mercy down upon them abundantly. Father, again, thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy and your grace, Lord. We just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.